The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode. We believe you'll be richly blessed.
Lord bless you this evening. We give praise to the Holy One of Israel. We bless you, the great I am. Our glory to you tonight. Thank you for the privilege we have to know who you are. Thank you for coming to us. Thank you for mercy. Mercy visiting the earth. Glory and honor to you. Thank you for deliverance from the power, the grip of darkness. Darkness is bad. Darkness is evil. Thank you for coming and delivering us from the grip, the hold of darkness, translating us into the realm of your marvelous light. We give you glory tonight. We appreciate you, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. We thank you. Can we say to him, we thank you? You don't know how the world would have looked like without the Messiah. Say, we thank you. That is why everywhere, anywhere that the Christian faith is expressed, darkness wants to annihilate it. Darkness wants to extinct it. It wants to quench the light of the gospel. You see, even in hell, if there's allowance to live your life there, Christian life there, hell will be afraid. Amen. But the light is not afraid of anything. We just give thanks to the Lord. I don't know one of God who, after they have pulled him, did everything to stop the gospel. I'm going to die. Can you give me 1 minute to preach Christ? Just 1 minute. You have done all your wickedness in all the years on earth. Please, can you permit me just 1 minute? Because 1 minute will make all the difference. Just 1 minute of the light shining will consume the darkness of ages. Paul will appreciate the king for giving him permission to defend himself. Because the gospel is light. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for delivering us from the power of darkness, bringing us into the light of the glorious gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why every other religion will have to come with a law of extinction. They can't cohabit with Christian. They can't cohabit with yours. They have to come with a law to ensure that it's complete dominion. In India, Christians are being burned. In China, they are being killed. In Arab nations, they are being killed. But we live with them in the regions where we are majority, and their existence does not threaten us. Do away with the laws of the boundaries that gives you ultimate preeminence, and let's see the power of light. Why are you asking for laws that does not allow others to express themselves? It's because darkness will always be afraid of light. And when it's having preeminence, it's afraid if there be little light anywhere. It can't stick it. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love this gospel. Praise God. We give thanks to him who has loved us. Amen. It's only in the gospel you can speak from your conscience and you have nothing remaining in you. You will speak from the down your spirit, your conscience, and without any iota of deception or lie or covering. Or covering, no veiling. We will expose it completely. And tonight we are here again to expose it completely. Hallelujah. The light of the glorious gospel will shine in all the nations of the earth. It will shine across Nigeria. Let hell and death and all of them, let them conspire together. The light of God's glorious gospel will shine in Nigeria. It's just beginning to shine. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So you're welcome tonight. It's nice. Just wonder what is this speaking from? I'm speaking from my interaction in my spirit and my mind. Please let me to welcome someone by your side tonight. You're welcome. And welcome all our friends everywhere. Everywhere. Everyone listening to this broadcast. You're welcome to tonight's meeting. Praise God. I think also today, I don't know if it's exactly today, but around this time was the time when Tyndale was set ablaze. Tyndale was the man who translated the Bible from Greek to English that demystified the secrets of the Roman Empire to keep the word of God from man. He succeeded in producing copies of the Bible for many years before and hiding until one of his friends who was against him without knowing exposed him. Praise God. That's where you find other versions being able to be written from. It was then King James and the other versions came to be because of the writing of Tyndale. Amen. These men have lived a glorious life for a cause. Today, the gospel is everywhere because the Bible is everywhere. Hallelujah. I also feel like noting that it's amazing that you can't be glorified with him if you are not going to suffer with him. So the gospel is not bread and butter. What we're talking about is serious matter. Let's check into God's words today as we begin and continue with this teaching on the mystery of the faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember that I was trying to see if I can finish this part the last time. I couldn't do that. But let's see today if we have such help as I trust God to make serious progress today. Amen. I think the modern thing is that God is shining his light upon our heart a bit. Amen. It doesn't matter how fast we are in terms of how much we can cover. In fact, we are going to preach this throughout our life. Amen. And to always be fresh. Always be fresh. Because what we're talking about is what is. It's not just what was. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me start reading from John. He said, I'm going to stay a lot in the book of John today. Because the issue of the faith. I was talking about the four gospels last Wednesday. I said the four gospels actually documents that explain to us or reveal to us the earthly dimension of Jesus to the heavenly dimension of Jesus. Reveal to us his humanity and to his divinity. But John actually majored on the divinity of Jesus. You know, the four gospels is like the four faces of the living creature in Ezekiel. Amen. There was a living creature in Ezekiel that was shown to him. And one has the face of a man, face of an ox, the face of an eagle, and the face of a lion. Okay, thank you. Face of a lion has the four faces. And the four faces is showing all the faces of the Son of God in completeness. And as a man, that was majorly expressed in the book of Luke, emphasizing the humanity of Jesus. As a servant, was emphasized by the book of Mark. It was a ready messenger of the covenant. Amen. As the king, the lion, is emphasized, the king of the Jews in Matthew. Amen. And John emphasizes the face of the eagle. Eagle is on their eye. It's on high. They are the son of the most high. So as the face of an eagle, the son of God is from on high. The son of man is from the earthly dimension and the son of God. So you see those words, son of man, son of God, interchangeably used in scriptures. I, the son of man. It was easy for the Jews to believe he's the son of man. Amen. Praise God. For he came straight with the word of God. He had the message and expanding into God's thought through the law and the rest of that. So, and God confirming those words with undeniable miracles. So to them, it was not difficult to accept that reality that is a servant of God, is a prophet of God. And as a man, clearly, he was of the seed of David in the flesh. So it was clear. And as a lion, that was revealed majorly through prophecies and through those who came later on, like the wise men that came from the east, they were looking for the king of the Jews. Amen. God told them a king was born. But he was a baby. And you can trace that through the royal lineage. Adoption of that man into the house of Joseph, who is of the lineage of David. Amen. So you see all of that introduction in the Gospels. And the part of it that is hidden is the sonship, which is the major part of the Gospel that must be there if there will be salvation. Praise God. So John is this close disciple of Jesus. Actually, John was the closest to Jesus. John was the closest in terms of intimacy and in terms of heart-to-heart understanding. John was so close to him to a point that he became a reference person to Jesus. Many of them, if they are going to ask hard questions that they feel maybe Jesus would not want to explain or whatever, they will ask John to help them to ask Jesus. Amen. And in most of the time, they are sitting arrangement. John is always next to Jesus. Actually, always on the right side of Jesus. And Peter will be next to him. And the other son of Zebedee, James, will also be there. Praise God. Amen. You know, the mother came and was praying Jesus that he will make these two of his sons an entity of the kingdom. He will make them that one will sit on the left and another on the right. And Jesus said, "You have asked for a very hard thing. It's not for me to give that. The choice is of my Father. It's by election." So Jesus said to her, "Can they be baptized with baptism?" Definitely they will be baptized with baptism. Definitely they will go through suffering also. And it was clear one of them died martyred. It was martyred. That's James. And the other one was the longest living disciple on the earth. Amen. So they enjoyed the sufferings in two different ways. That's why in the realm of eternal life, we don't talk about somebody's life is cut short. No, it's life. It's not long life. It's eternal life. Because the when you say somebody dies, a Christian dies, I say, what did he do wrong? Like they asked Jesus, those people whom the pool of Siloam fell upon, was it their sin they were asking him? No, it's not their sin. Because sometimes those who sin most live longest. Are we right? Praise God. So this man, John, Johanna, he was a dear disciple of Jesus. And is the one who bore this testimony. He bore it to the third heaven. He bore the witness of Jesus to the third heaven. And is the one who brought the record, this complete record. All of them, through revelations, here and there, they declare, Peter declared, "Thou art the Son of God. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." It was by revelation. They didn't bear the revelation of the person of Jesus. It was just like a jump into a process. You are not part of it. You just said, "It's not you. It's not your growth. It's my Father." Amen. It's not even your walk with me. It's my Father who just held you and suspended your contribution and showed it to you. Praise God. But you see, John was a privilege to write. After he has walked with the Lord, he wrote Revelation. He wrote the three epistles. And he wrote the Gospel of John. So apart from Paul, John wrote the largest part of the New Testament. Praise God. And through him, God established those things that were witnessed by the prophet and by some of the apostles. He established that reality. He was the one who discovered that the Christ is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was nothing made. That was, you can only find that verse there. Though its reflections are in the prophets. He's the one who knew His existence before creation. Actually, it was before creation. But the reality of those things was not fully established with many of the apostles. Praise God. I went in the house together, please. So, if you are going to know Jesus as Son of God, God will have to open you to the understanding of revelation of Jesus through the writings of John. So today we're going to just do that and trust the Lord to guide us in the process. Amen. Let me read from John chapter 9. In chapter 9 of John, Jesus did a miracle of healing a man that was born blind. You know the story very well. Amen. A man was born blind and Jesus restored the eyes. So in that process, the Jews confronted him, trying to invalidate that reality of that miracle. And a man was born blind and he came seeing. It will not be easy to invalidate that. Praise God. And I told you that the miracles of Jesus in the book of John are signs. They are not just miracles, they are signs. They are pointers to who he is. When he healed the eye of the blind, when he restored the eye of the one born blind, typifying the nature of man, that every man is blind. Amen. Every man is born blind. Nobody is born enlightened. Even when you gain the light of this world, it further makes you more blind. It makes your blind worse. Praise God. Because there's nobody who by reason of study discovered God. No. It further hardens them. The more people get the light in this world, the more they deny the existence and reality of God. Are we in the house, please? So the world does not have light, it's in darkness. So this man was born blind and Jesus healed the man. Let's read. They were trying to stop the man, and they actually told the parents, tried to meet the parents to find out who is this person. Verse 22, this word speak is parent because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already, chapter 9, verse 22, that if any man did confess that he was Christ, because that changed the whole story. Once you confess or you agree that he's Messiah, that he was Christ, that man is no more in the law. Amen. He has come to a new phase of life. So they will put him away from the synagogue. And what they are doing actually is symbolic. It's there to tell you that that acceptance terminates the law. For Christ is the end of the law. So what the law was meant to lead all the Jews to is to lead them to the Messiah. Amen. So therefore said his parent, is of age, asking. They don't want to leave the law. So then again, they called the man that was born blind and said to them, give God the praise. For we know that this man we are seeing is a sinner. He never aligned with the details of the law. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Amen. I don't know what I said, but I just knew that I was blind, but I see. Then said that to him again, what did he to thee? They are trying to, how open he thy eyes? They want to make sure that that process does not agree with the law. So they will invalidate it. Amen. And he said, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple already. Since we cannot win you, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses that for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why hearing is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is? He is beautiful. And it's good to find out, amen, that you don't know where he came from. And yet he had opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the word began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And he answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. In fact, you are not different from this man who will never align with the law of Moses. Amen. And are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Wow, beautiful, beautiful. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Wow. And when he had found him, so actually he sought for him when he heard that they cast him out. Amen. I think it's time for men to cast you out. I think so. Let's see this. Amen. By the end of this teaching, the church, anybody should cast you out. Amen. Because it can never align with the system and reasonings of the present order. Amen. Imagine we've been talking about the ministry of faith now. We have not been dealing with how bad your fornications, your all of that. What teaching is this one? You are all together a bundle of sinners. Amen. Oh, my. Religion is a very bad thing. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? You know that what they were against was Christ. Amen. If you confess him as Christ. But what just asked him, do you believe on Christ? Because the Jews understand that the Messiah is coming. Are we in the house, please? But do you believe on the Son of God? Do you believe that this Messiah is the Son of God? Because if he's the Messiah, he must be the Son of God. And the guy said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and I worship him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. It tells you that that miracle was a sign. It's a sign. It's a sign to know that those who are born blind are to see, and those who see are to retain their blindness, that they which see might be made blind. So it means that there's something that man, or there's a realm of life that man is to come into seeing or sighting. That's why it says, except one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see. It's not that he will not see, he cannot. So it means that you must have believed on the Son of God to say that you are born again. Praise God. So the issue of new birth is attached to the sonship of Jesus, the Son of God. And that is tonight, I'm going to just stay again in that place. That's believing on the Son of God. In chapter 11, that was resurrection of Lazarus. See verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord. What should I have said? She said, I believe that you are the resurrection and the life. So what did she say? I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And that she said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, means that you are the life and the resurrection. Because the Son of God must be the life and the resurrection. Amen. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the human race. And when he had said so, she went away and called her sister Mary, and it went on. Praise God. I'm staying there today because I want us to know that the summary of the gospel, what is called faith, is resident in believing in the Son of God, or believing on the Son of God. It looks simple, but that is the foolishness of the message. We're going to spend all our life in the revelation of this Son of God. All the epistles are testament or letters establishing the sonship of Jesus. And that is the message. The message is that God has come in the flesh. So let's go a little bit into looking at this issue of the life and the resurrection. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You know, the whole concept of life and death to man is about a human being on earth here who walks around. And one day, something happens. He falls down and he's breathing no more. And he says he's dead. And that is the result of death. That itself is not death. You know, if you never knew what was, you can never know how things has been today. You were just born on the earth and you meet people, you know, living at the time, dying at the time, and it's just like a circle that will never end. Men will keep living, men will keep dying. That's why the greatest thing man can fight for is how to survive on the earth. And so he gives him maybe a period of time, maybe 70 years, 80 years, 120 years. To him, the utmost he can ask from God is long life. Is that not true? So that he can fulfill his project, which he calls his project on the earth here, which are primarily to grow up, get married, have children, get a job, later on build his house, get a house, and all of that. If he has the privilege to ensure that the children have children after him, if you can see his fourth generation, wow, it's like victory. Because it's less than 20% of those who are born with you that will get that point, less than 20%, who will see their fourth generation. What is the system of Nigerian education where you get married at 30? If you're able to see your third generation, wow. You have tried. Amen. So the best thing you can ask for that the King David asked for is long life. And God gave him. Yet I'm not sure David attained to 80. See, by strength, you made 70 years of our days. If by strength we get to 80, extra 10. Praise God. Are we in the house together, please? But that is far from the way to think. That's far. That's why I said to start with that. Eternal life is not long life. It's eternal life. It's living forever. What do I call it? Living forever in a sphere that is undying. In a sphere that death or that cannot diminish. That's eternal. Eternal means in quality and in essence. So what Jesus Christ came to give to man is not long life. Amen. It's not long life. It's eternal life. Do you believe that? Are you sure of it? And is it essential that man should prefer to have eternal life than long life? Jesus said, if he's dead and believes, he shall live. And if he lives and is still believing on, then he shall never die. It means he will inherit eternal life, and by that, he shall never die. So it means that death to him is being separated from or being alienated from the life which is in God. Once a thing is separate and does not have access to the life that is in God, you say it's dead. It means it can't respond. Even when God is speaking, it can't pick it. You say it's dead. And to God, to heaven, that's a very bad state. It's to be imaginable for a man who was meant to live in God's presence or God's sight. That's another word used, in his sight. Like in Hosea chapter 6 verse 1, it says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will put us together. And after 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up." And what will happen? "We shall live in his sight." What? Let's look at the same words, that same thing said in the book of John 10. Let's see John 10 and see there verse 25. 25 says, "Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because ye are not my sheep, or ye are not of my sheep, as I have said unto you." See verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and what they do." I can't hear you, please. They follow me. See verse 28. "And I give unto them," what? So what he gives to those who follow him is eternal life in Hosea. "And after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he shall raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." We shall live in his sight, and I shall give unto them eternal life. It's the same thing. He will raise us up. So where is his sight? It's in his life. If it's not in his life, it's not in his sight. Let me say that again. I said, if it's not in his life, it's not in his sight. So the reward of those who follow him is to inherit eternal life or to live in his sight. "For in thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forever." So the things of his right hand are the things of his sight. Are we in the house, please? So let me live in thy sight. Then you are the son of my right hand. Or you are the son of my love. Praise God. I will give to them eternal life. So if it's not eternal life, it's not in his sight. That is the portion of those who follow him. "And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." So a man who inherits eternal life, or who is in his sight, can never perish. "Neither shall any pluck them out of my hands." That also is called salvation, or eternal salvation, preservation. So he's telling you the lot of those who believe and who follow. So he said, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know." Can you see? So it's when we inherit eternal life or inherit salvation that is the evidence that we are follow on, not to get, but follow on to know. Because life eternal is that they may know thee, the only true God. Is it not true? And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is life eternal. So it's the knowledge or revelation of God that is life eternal. So then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain, and former rain on the earth. Telling you how the Lord will come to grow us into that perfect state, that perfect stature. It will come to us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So he divide the rain, or it's coming. How it will come to us? It will come to us as the rain. It will come to us as the latter rain, and the former rain unto the earth. Praise the Lord. Telling you how he will mature whosoever follows him. Amen. So in previous verses, let's check out the previous verses to that place. In verse 16, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Are you there? Verse 17, very important. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life." Are you there? "I lay down my life that I might take it again." Oh, please look at me. Look at me. "I lay down my life that I might take it again." Jesus said, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father," or "this teaching or learning or doctrine of how to lay down and how to take again is what I've received of my Father. You know, last time I was telling us that the mystery of faith is in the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which was demonstrated in 3 days, that Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised again for our justification. All of those things, okay, happened in 3 days. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Here, he has not gone to the cross. Am I with you? He has not gone to the cross. He didn't say, and I will be the resurrection and the life. He said, I am. And if you believe in me, he didn't say, if you believe then, amen. He didn't say, if you believe then, if you believe in me, if anybody is dead and believes in me, he shall live. And if anybody is alive, means that it's not that he's physically alive. If he was dead and he has lived, and he believed further on me, he shall never die. So he said, believest thou this, because this is all that your faith will be hinged on, that you will believe, you will live. That you keep believing and you will never die, because you will inherit eternal life. And because of that, no man will be able to pluck you out. Not even physical death can pluck you out of the Father's hand. It means eternally you are united with the Father. The greatest thing, the greatest experience of any man is to be eternally united with the Father. Because just a few moments in his presence is everlasting joy. What of forever abiding in his presence? So, Jesus said, I laid down my life and I took it back again. Remember that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Jesus offered himself and did not hang power anywhere. He gave himself, he was actually made sin. He that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made. If he was not sin, he couldn't have been nailed on the cross, he couldn't have died on the cross. Because the curse is he that hung on the tree. So it was the curse he bore that made him qualified to hang on the tree. So he died on the tree. He was buried. He hung no power anywhere. It was the glory of the Father that raised him up. So what is this that I have power to take it back again? And how to take it back is a commandment I received of my Father. Not a commandment I will receive. I have received that commandment or that teaching or that learning. My being tutored, my working with the Father over the years is receiving commandment not to die again. It means that if I am the life and resurrection, I cannot die. I am eternally united with the Father. Praise God. Let's read a little bit further. Amen. There was a division among the Jews for this saying. Many of them said, he has a devil. This guy is mad. Why are you listening to him? Others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? The place was divided because what he was talking about does not look like somebody who was out of his mind. Because faith of man will be hung on the Son of God, who has power to lay down life, who has also power to raise it back again. What does it mean to raise it back? What does it mean to die and to raise it? Remember in the book of St. John 5, Jesus was busy with the issue of raising up. You know that? Let's check some things out of that place. Chapter 5 of John. 5 of John, verse 36. Are you there? Let me read before that place, please, for good comprehension. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father walketh. Either so, I walk. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, are you there? But said of that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Actually, Jesus died because he said he is the Son of God. If he said he is a prophet, I will bow. He died because he said he is the Son of God. So anybody who believes Messiah and does not believe the Son of God is a liar. He's a deceiver. Because there's no record of Messiah who is not the Son of God. Some religion believe that Jesus is Christ, is Messiah. But they say he's a prophet. You are a liar. The record is a liar. Whosoever thought it and said it's a liar. Because the issue of Messiah is not a knowledge of any part of the world. Nobody in the Arab world knows about Messiah. It's a Jewish concept. So if you believe, if anybody in his book, they said Jesus is Messiah, and you say it's not the Son of God, you are a confused man. Because the Messiah must be the Son of God. So, the argument was, Jesus said he's the Son of God. And to them, they knew the meaning of that. They know he's not little God. You make yourself equal with God. Now, what is about God that makes God different? Let's read that place. Amen. Every time we say God now, everybody just put God in the class and... No, the gospel is to demystify God. But Jesus came to make God known. Are we in the house? You see the place? I was reading 5:18. Okay. 19 says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, what things ever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. So what is about the Father and the Son is that they operate in the same way. It means they carry the same nature. Are we in the house? So if he's the Son, he will do exactly what the Father is doing in the way the Father will do it. So it's only the Son that has access into what the Father does and how he does it. So what does the Father do? Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son and sheweth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him, read with me that place, greater works than this that ye may marvel. He's still using language. What is the Father doing? The Father worketh. John 9:7 says, my Father worketh either to I work. I work the work of him that sent me while this day. For the next comment, when no man works, what is this work? See verse 21. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. So, amen. When you say God is creation, that spells out, first of all, who God is. It's true what he created. But when he came and showed himself as Father, he's not talking about what his end has created. He's talking about who he is and the extension of his genealogy. Creation showed God, they showed their, the sun shines without asking you should I shine. It's what they are ordained to do among the houseless. So without even God today, the sun shines and it will burn out. It has been designed like that. Praise God. That's why you jump down from your bed in the morning. If you don't pray, you are not going to fall. The power is given to you like that until you expire it. Amen. If there's no accident by old age, he has put there the power that will expire because it's not eternal. Praise God. But what the Father does that is primary of his nature is that the Father quickens and raises up. The Father quickeneth the dead. It means it turns what is dead to living. Not only that, it will make it living. It will bring it to a place where it will be of reckon in his sight. That's the meaning of, and we shall live in his sight. So the Father raises. What raises means? Raises. The Father's profession, amen. The Father's profession is to raise. When you say Father, what does it mean? He will raise children. When you say Pastor, it's about a flock. But when you say Father, it's about children. Is that not? So the Father's profession is raising children. And what he gave to the Son is how the Son can raise. So, if any man who is dead cometh to the Son will raise him up. Hallelujah. And that word is that the Son will build him up. The Son will build him from the realm of death to the realm of life and to the realm of eternal life. Hallelujah. So what is the Father's profession? I can't hear you, please. His profession is raising the dead. So when Jesus said, I am the life, I am the resurrection and the life, it means the Father has raised him to become the resurrection and the life. For I am is the divine nature that is resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. It's not just say, I am. I am. The class of the I am, they are resurrection and life. That is their nature. God cannot die because he is the resurrection. It's not because he is God. If God has anything that is not resurrection, he will die. That means he will terminate. He will expire. He will pass away. He will change. He will lose great. He will be corruptible. Are we in the house together, please? So even so, I like that word there. Say even so. Oh, that's serious. The Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. See verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father, because the nature of the Father is in the Son. The Son can do what is the preserve of the Father. What made God higher than all creature is the resurrection. Resurrection is a sphere of life. It's not that he died and no. It's a sphere of life. When you say eternal life, it's a sphere of life. And the quality of that sphere is resurrection. That is who they are. The meaning is this one. If they enter into death, they will give life to the dead. Death does not affect them. They affect death. They terminate death. They put an end to death. The makeup of their nature cannot allow anything that is outside them to affect them. They quicken. Say quicken. Or they are life giver. So the Lord is a sun and it's a shield. It will give grace and glory. What they can typify as the Lord to you is a sun. Now, sun is a sun in the realm of creation is the biggest light. Am I with you? Praise God. Sun is what? It's biggest light. And it's a light that does not depend on any other light. So it's self-generating. In science, they will say, series of fusion, keep going on there. As fusion is going on, it forms elements that goes through fission. And by themselves, they go through fission. It's the cycles of power generation. That's why a star a sun is one star. A star has lifetime of billions of years. But because it's created, it can still die. But it's the highest creature that can symbolize that divine essence. So everything creation in the galaxy receive their energy. If you find energy anywhere in the galaxy, it's because the energy was transferred from the sun. You call it the solar system. Is that not true? If you find any energy in rock, in stone, any energy anywhere, it was an energy transfer from the sun that was converted into other forms of energy. That's why when the sun dies out, creation vanishes. In fact, if dying out will expire and consume creatures, when you hear the sun falls, the planet will disappear. God, by creation, he has been placed in a distance that can be saving and preserve creature or creation. So if certain planets close to the sun, who can take with that? You see there, certain minerals exist there that can withstand the strength of the sun. And it's the sun that sustains those minerals there. But it's only on the earth you have biotic life. And it's kept at a distance, accurate from the sun for sustenance. I will rehearse this. If it moves a little cost, just a degree shift, the earth will disappear. If it moves a little degree away from the sun distance, the earth will freeze. So what keeps it going that way is the sun. The sun in creation is a life-giving body. So the Lord is the sun. The Father is a life-giving body. And as a father, what he gives is his life. He gave creation their kind of life. So you see energy in the universe. But his energy as father is in generating life that carries its own nature, that can procreate after him. Are we in the house together, please? You call that life resurrection. Resurrection. The life and the resurrection. The life is the lower degree of resurrection. It's upon life that resurrection acts. That's why if you believe, you will live. If you believe on, you will never die. It means you move from life into resurrection. You can also say, the thief cometh not for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that I may have life and have it more in congealed. When life is congealed, it breaks out into resurrection. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So, what did the Father teach his Son? He taught the Son how to become life and resurrection. When you hear judgment, all judgment is what maketh the Son. They are the matters of resurrection. That is called judgment. The Father loved the Son and has given the Son all judgment. All judgment is, when I say judgment, is knowledge that is of eternal value. Amen. For example, the way you are afraid of falling and dying. Is that not? And you will do everything not to fall and die. That's why no matter what happens to you, if you're on the road and car is coming, the system that wires you knows when not to jump. Is that not true? Amen. Your body is built against hazards. If anything is coming to your eye now, in split second, your eye will blink. Well, Ojulowo, I can fall on the eyelid. Before a thing will strike your eyeball, the speed of movement must be very fast. Because the physical body is built to avoid death. That's why when sickness comes into the body begins to fall, break down from within, and those power of reflex begin to die out. It means it loses power of survival. It's not able to withstand the forces of death in the natural. Praise God. So the judgment in human form is that you must do everything to avoid death. Am I with you? But when you follow Jesus, he puts you through what seems like hazardous. At first you'll be afraid of that because your body does not want to fall. But when your eyes open to what is called resurrection life as the gain of obedience, fear of natural death begins to dissipate from you. You know it still exists, but you no more have that fear. Now, you come here now, in some places, if you don't pray for survival against witches and wizards in the day, it's like life will expire. Is that not true? In fact, you must mention all of them by name. But some of you have been around there for 6 months now. It's really the issue trying to talk about those problems you knew before. Is that not right? The problem from your family, you know them, they are there. But gradually your mind is being shifted from them because you are coming to a new light. What's happening? They are changing your judgment. Before you hear, yeah, to sleep will be hard. For your sleep is terminated. I want to longer. Amen. In some places when they teach you demonology to drink water, you'll be afraid. You take the cup, you see the demons are hanging on the top, the cup edges. Is that not? What gave you that is judgment of death. Somebody gave you a judgment. I don't know what I'm saying now. What is it doing? It's giving you a perspective among the dead. You have wishes. You have wishes. But what makes you acknowledge their existence to a point that you are under them is because death has been ministered to you as judgment. Now, when you meet the son and it talks on issues of his father and the realm of his father, you just lose sight of those things, and if you know they are there, the way you deal with them is not with fear anymore. You come from the realm of authority now as God's son to deal with them. You know, sometimes there are devils you deal with for years. So for years, and as if they are not hearing you. They are hearing you. They decide that you are already growing in judgment and you are not acknowledging their existence. That God will allow you to meet those spirits because your faith must be established on the God that raises the dead. It should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the power of God is the God, what's God's power? That he can raise the dead. Praise God. When I say God can raise the dead, it's not raising the dead from inside grief. It's raising men who seems they are alive, but they are in grief. Raising them into nature and stature that is above realm of dead. So you can understand why Jesus will be on earth. He will be on earth and he'll be talking about he went to God. How did he go to God? By receiving judgments of God. He received judgment of God, and when you receive judgment of God, what happens? You are being raised or you are coming to God. So God's movement comes because God gives us things, you call it things of God. That things, you know, is called thoughts of God. You know that? 2 Corinthians 10 says that, for we rest not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, with the rulers of the darkness of this world, with spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's his vision. In 2 Corinthians, talking about we rest not against flesh and blood, against. No, that's the vision. In 2 Corinthians, for though we walk not in the flesh, though we are in the flesh, we walk not after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge, or the reasoning, or the thoughts of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. So if his stronghold is a thought against thought, if his imagination is thought in another realm of formation against thoughts. So all of that is said there are all thoughts. That's why he will bring them into captivity, the thoughts to obey Christ. So when you say Christ, Christ is a stronghold as a stature, his imagination as a stature. Christ is I at a stature. I went in the house place. So what you call judgment, actually is thoughts. Song was there, thought called judgment. So what the father was giving to the son was thoughts, reasonings. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what you call the Son of God is the one that the Father raised from the dead. That's the Son of God. What do I call him? The one the Father raised or built. The one the Father built. Praise God. Amen. I was reading John 5. Let's move to chapter 7, verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but he that sent me." Verse 17. Let's read together 17. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or I speak of myself." Move to verse 24. "Judge not according to human sight, but judge righteous judgment." So doctrine teaches judgment. So doctrine is to make you know the judgment of God. What God sees as right. So, the mystery of faith, look at it, in 2 Timothy, there was these people who said that the resurrection is past. They didn't say there's no resurrection. They said it's past. And the Bible says, 2 Timothy 2, "Who concerning the truth have heard, saying or teaching that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith. So the faith is tied to resurrection. It's not to the fact that God raised Jesus, but that Jesus raises whom he will, and Jesus is still raising today. It's not by the gift of miraculous of somebody was in his bier or coffin. I went in the house place. That's why if you don't understand this mystery, you will be forced all the time to do miracles to prove that Jesus is alive. Because if you raise a man from the physical dead, say, "Jesus is alive. He's alive." That is not the evidence of Jesus is alive. He's alive if he can raise a man from being a man to inherit eternal life. He's alive. It means that if nobody will ever get body healing for 100 years, it does not reduce my preaching of Jesus Christ. But I will show you men who were sick in their souls, who were sick in their life, that Jesus made and raised and healed. I went in the house, please. By his own will, he gives physical evidences. But for you who believe, they want to know these evidences. Somebody died and was raised from the dead. It's for unbelievers. For to him, that's the only thing he can know about resurrection. But when we're going to preach to him after he saw that, we won't preach that to him. We will preach that you believe on Jesus as Son of God, he will raise you from the dead and gives you eternal life. That is the gospel. So tomorrow, he will not turn the church to a place where the... So when his uncle died in Ibadan, they'll bring him to church. When he died in the U.S., they'll fly him to church. I went in the house, please. Now, that does not raise a strong church or powerful church. It can bring multitude, millions, but it can never change them until this reality, saying that they kept teaching that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that's all. They were not invalidating that Jesus died on the cross. But the reality that Jesus lived on earth and his living was a raising. I went in the house, please. God raised his son on the earth that he became the resurrection and the life. If not that the Father and the Son already agreed that you won't be glorified at the end of the day until you do it on the cross. Because that one that was done, they didn't see it. Amen. Why did they didn't see it? They would have believed that you are the Son of God. But they said you are a prophet. You are Son of Man. So they didn't see it. I will do what they can see, so that their faith to start with can start there. So those who don't believe that Jesus was raised by God cannot deny that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and that on the third day he was raised. He made it shown. So every simple heart people can believe that. Are we in the house, please? We saw it. Let me give you an example. Paul was preaching to Galatians, and he was amazed why the church in Galatia swayed easily like that. And he was rebuking them. And he said, go back to where you are there. Please go back there. Oh, foolish Galatian, who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you, Galatia, not Jerusalem. Number one, there's nobody in this church who was there when Jesus died on the cross. No single person here. Even Paul himself, who was writing, was not there. But through Jesus, Paul's ministry, he set forth the death and resurrection of Jesus through preaching, that their eyes could see it vividly, that Jesus died for sin. They can lay down their life for the reality that Jesus died for their sin. Why? He was evidently set forth. So Jesus will not die on the cross again, but his preaching by those who have seen him will set it clear in the heart of men, in the eyes of men, that they will experience what others experienced who were there. Much more. Oh my God. Because he gave the power to communicate the reality through preaching. So, those who think that it's only when the sick in the body is healed that you can preach Christ, they tell me how you preach that he died on the cross. Because he will not die a second time. I went in the house, please, to make you believe. It is through preaching, I went in the house, please, that reality will be done. Not because you are trying to just shout somewhere and brag. No, you will unveil, you will assume the realities. Hallelujah. And set it forth. And people will experience the death of Jesus, though they were not there. And they will experience the life of Jesus, and they will be raised with Jesus. And do you know that when you are dead, the dead know you are dead. Because you dwell in the congregation of the dead. And the dead will talk to you like dead people. And when you are raised to life, not even raised to resurrection, when you are raised to life, the dead will know you are no more in their midst. How did they know? When you got born again and your friend met you, how did they know you are born again? You know, forget about the days when you are born again, you tie your head straight. In those days, you remove your hearing. Hallelujah. Amen. But the evidence of new birth is not those things. It means if you have not changed your clothes, and people who were dead sees you in life, they should know that you are alive. It's a connection, it's a relationship, it's a translation from a realm to another realm. And those who are alive, when you talk to them, they will know, you are alive. How do they know you are alive? Life will communicate to life. Life will bear witness with life. Is that not true? So there are children of life, and there are children of resurrection. Are you in the house with them, please? So for these people, Jesus was evidently set forth, crucified among you. So it's not a repetition of those things that brings the reality, but the revelation of those things. What's revelation? Making it known. If it has been known to you, not because it was preached to you, at the point it becomes so known that you are persuaded that it really did. Because it really did, because there are evidences of it. What's the evidences? The scriptures. What's the evidences? That Christ was crucified and was raised from the dead. Praise God. Then anyone who believes on him also will be raised. As the Father quickened the dead. That's why Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. The word I speak, they are spirit, they are life.
It means that when I speak, I don't just send words to you. I send to you spirit. I send to you life. The word of God is quick and powerful. What's quick? It makes alive. So when God speaks, He speaks resurrection. Especially when He speaks as a father. So He has spoke to prophets before. Yet, it was not resurrection that was speaking. He didn't speak in His authority as resurrection. Many times, He speaks to prophets, through angels. And you hear, thus says the Lord. But when the Father speaks straight from Himself as Father, He speaks life. Anybody who receives it, receive life. Now when I say life, can you see it? But what it does in you shows you it is life. What it does? It quickens you. It raises you. It delivers you. It breaks the bands in you. It breaks the limitations in you. It destroys doubt, darkness. It takes away fears from you. Are we in the house, please? Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So, the faith is tied to resurrection. If Jesus died and was not raised again, then your faith is in vain. What I say? If He died and was not raised again, your faith is in vain. So it's not His death that raised you up. His death destroys sin. I win the house this. But His life raised you up. That's it. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. So you can also see that when you talk about faith in Christianity, let me use that word that way, or to those who are in Christ, it's not faith like those who are in the world. Is that right? For those who are in the world, what's faith to them? Faith is having to believe God. Believe God for anything. But you can believe God for everything and not be able to believe God for resurrection. A great man of faith who can will things, who can move things by faith. If he hears resurrection, the way I'm saying it now, he can just... It does not make sense to him. It's not reasonable to him. And it's not desirable. But it means that the gospel also will make no sense. Now, you will have to twist the gospel in preaching it. You will have to take verses and leave some verses. If you want the gospel to speak by himself, that must be the basis of it. Can you now say why nothing can separate us from the love of God who is in Christ? Can you see that? Nothing. Why? Is it tribulation? Paul began to mention it. Tribulation? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Okay? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine? Remember that those things can deal with the body. You know, when you think the faith, when you say Christ raised you up, you just feel, and when you got Christ is raising me up, I will just, you know, our power to wield wealth, with money, with that. It's not demonstrated in the face of that. Good head can command money. I share a video on Pastor Reddy's page today about Nigerians that has private jet. In Africa, Nigeria has the largest number of private jets. Don't mind, that is the headquarters of poverty also. The largest number of private jets. Okay. Among those who own private jets, only one of them, Bishop Oyedepo, has four. Dangote has four. Many of them are unbelievers. Of all the women that have private jets, there's no single one of them who you can say is a major Christian. Alakija, Tupelo Jansman's wife, Shagaya, what's his name? Dezani. Does anyone want to look at anybody's pursuing talent life? Amen. So if you think that what we're saying is about how to make you influential and big on the earth, no, you don't get it. Can it? With it, it has the power to do it. If he needs it. But most of the time, it doesn't even need that much. The talent life does not need that much. Because he knows that the human life air is subjected to the law and power of player. So he will hardly want to expose your soul because you don't really need it. And himself does not need it. See, when we get the billions, we influence them more. It's a lie. The billions you have, what are you doing with it? Praise God. Amen. So, understand.
What men are afraid of is tribulation. If Dangote should hear of tribulation in his business, he will sink. If you tell him today that he will take taxi on the road, he will pass out. I will ask this. Because his life has been defined. What those things does that it defines you? Are we in the house, please? Actually, once you eat some class stuff, you don't see some things anymore. Your eye, you don't see them. That's why those people they don't know you are suffering. Forget about it. They can't understand what you are saying. They are not in your transaction. Praise God. Tribulation. Distress. When you hear distress, it means distress. Distress in every form. Economic distress. Social distress. Even spiritual distress. Persecution. Or famine. Famine. Hunger. Hunger. And the power of life is not given to you to command bread to come. Nakedness. Nakedness. Or peril. Or sword. Can you see? So when you see men threatening Christians with knife, is because their life is still here. I want to house this. What rebellion does is that it demystifies these things as belonging to a lower life. For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. See that, please. Nay. Come on, say nay. I can't hear you, please. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What is more in us? Our nature is changed. When there is trouble on the earth, the church grows faster. To tell you that what resurrection needs to try is not what the earth provides. We pray for election in Nigeria. Don't we pray? And I say, God, what are you doing about Nigeria? What do you care about this suffering? He's saying you are seeing suffering because you are dwelling in the realm of death. Yes. It's your dwelling place. You are seeing it. For them, they see that instrument of upgrading you. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hallelujah. For I am persuaded. Come on, say I am persuaded. That's Paul talking. I am persuaded. What persuaded him? Experience. Revelation. Understanding. Light. That neither death, nor this life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is he saying that? He has been raised. In raising the Son, it's not the power to give answer to every matter that makes you a son. You know, sometimes when you have some trouble in your life, the best way to know that God loves you is when you ask Him for intervention, if you respond. I have a Father, I will never, never fail me. I have a Father, you won't sing it now, that will never, never fail me. Jesus is my Father. It's not Father, it's God you are talking about. If He fathers you, if Jesus fathers you, amen. Like his father dealt with him. Do you know he's lost his father in training? He lost his father in training, and God did not permit him to save his father. Because it is son in training. The training is not how to solve your problem. It's how to endure the process. How to endure the training. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising what? So all those things listed are shameful things. Despising the shame. Some of them you can change, some of them you cannot change, some of them you pray you change, some of them you pray you cannot change. And I have life. I have the word of God. I'm quickened, I'm raised. They will ask it, practice it. Now let's see your practice. Do you know that if Jesus was majorly the miraculous before 30, his siblings would have pushed him out? It tells you that he was not operating that for a long time. That's why, at a certain point, when I knew that the thing has rested, they said, go and show yourself. But now they felt that he's making manifest. His sonship or election is making manifest. If he has been doing it as 20, they would have pushed him out. But he went through process. He went through process. Denial. The shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What am I saying? Our faith is tied to raising. Is that one clear tonight? Or it's tied to our building. It's not tied to our actions. It's not tied to our doing. The work of God. They told him, what shall we do that we may do the work of God? He said, this is the work of God. That you may believe on him who I sent. That's God's work. So the work God will be doing for many years is believing on whom he has sent. They thought he would teach them how to heal the sick. How to raise the dead. The work of God is believing on him who he has sent. Who has he sent? The Son of God. The custodian of life and resurrection. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So, anything you receive as knowledge that is not hinged on the resurrection power of Jesus, we're going to see that. It's not part of the faith. It can improve your present physical issues. Am I with you? It's good you go to school. It's good you have a job. Right? It's good you get married. Right? And you have children. Right? All of that, your success in them is not determined by this. It means you can go to school and be successful without being part of this. How can you be a child of God? An unbeliever will be beating you in class. We are trying to spoil our children to be hard working. Is that not true? Amen. Praise God. But how many people who are 50 students who have become A by that? It's only if it is in them before and they are not using it. If they are A student before and they play so much, they can just wake up. But if they are doing their best to be 50 students before, there's nothing you want to say to them. That saying it more can make it reduce to 40. What am I saying? In the whole process, the resultant effect, you read the place the other time, that Jesus will come and will be glorified in the saints. In them, it will be adored. In them that believe, will be admired. When it shall come to be glorified in the saints, and to be admired. Glorifying means that to mark completion. And is the one who decides to know when there is completion. And when there is this. It will make that work that's internal visible. That's why for this purpose the Son of God was manifest. That they might destroy the works, not the work of demons, the works of the devil. Because the work of the devil is internal. So why he destroyed that work, when he completes a circle, what happens? He's glorified. He brings glory. Or he brings appearance. Suddenly they just feel that you are in another realm entirely. The way you speak just change. The way you sit in just change. All the while, all through the year, it's as you are struggling. Nothing is happening. Am I in the house, please? It's because this is a season of
glorification or the season of manifestation. Before the season, it will appear as if you are wasting time. Why? It is an internal work that is not designed to be seen. Hallelujah. When do you change? For those who study biology, I use the issue of metamorphosis. You know that thing? Metamorphosis. It's called a series of gradual change that occurs in the life cycle of an organism that changes it from maybe an egg state into a mature adult. Call it metamorphosis. It means, oh, when an egg becomes a larva, wow, the egg has changed to a larva. Oh, the larva has turned to a pupa. Wow. But in reality, it is found out that the things that happens to the organism that is not seen is the major change that triggers the real physical change you see. So you call that ecdysis. It's enzymic. It's if anything happens at that time that affects it, it terminates the rechange. For example, a housefly lays egg. Normally, it will lay its egg in a warm place. Amen. That's why you see a rat that dies. Nothing, you won't say anything. Very soon, you will see maggot not on it, from inside. Because the maggot will breed well from the heat inside. If there's no heat, it dies. So when you poo-poo on the floor, amen, and you go away, for the maggot to come out there, they will ensure that there's heat. So there will be a series of actions there that makes this heated up. The heating up is to create an environment, atmosphere for its growth inside that can actualize its change. Are we in the house, please? So the change in Christ is internal change. The internal series of internal change that bursts forth in the outside. Am I in the house with you? So what God does is that He gives judgment that quickens, that releases it and power to change in the inside. So that when it comes, it can be glorified in the saint and be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed. Or there was continuation in the testimony. Are we in the house, please? Sometimes we start with the testimony at faith. You believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. And because those who are doing it then didn't know the meaning of it. They didn't know it's your profession. They stop there and bring something else to continue. Every day, the teachings will be revelation of the life, the death, and the glory of Christ. Hallelujah. That's mystery of the faith. Anything that tampers with that reality as experiential today destroys your faith. Because Christ did not die so He can die and go to heaven. He came to the earth because of you and I. But it has always been there. We don't really care. We gloss over it. We read other things. That doesn't make, but that is our strength. Amen. Luke 24. So Jesus by himself in verse 14, 4, and He said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you, why I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. When I say all things, it's not just all events. It's all thoughts. All thoughts must be fulfilled, performed, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open ye their understanding, that they might understand what? Scriptures, that they might understand. Lord, grant us understanding. Lord, breathe resurrection, breathe understanding. Oh my, that they might understand those scriptures. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer. He used the word there, death is to suffer. And to rise from the dead the third day.
and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Today, the Lord is raising witnesses of these things. In the churches again across the whole earth, the Lord is raising witnesses of these things. You know, when you read that place, it looked as if it's about just the death of Jesus on the cross. When you pick that place to where I read in Hosea, after 2 days, it would revive us. On the third day, he didn't say we raise him up. What will he do? So third day, he said, this is the third hour of the day, as spoken by prophet Joel. It shall come to pass. So third hour, or the third day began after Jesus ascended. The third day is not the third day of Jesus in the grave. That third day symbolizes a time, a period, a space of time when God will raise us up. So 3 days of men, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you know it was at the beginning of the third day. It's not third day. Or at the beginning of the third day, God raised him. And in the third day, it's not at the beginning, in the third day. So Jesus resurrection from the dead triggered the third day activity. So the church is battered into third day activity of raising up. Amen. That's why the gifts of Christ are gifts of resurrection. It was after he led captive captives that he gets gifts unto men, because the job they will do is to raise men. When they raise you up, lies will make no sense to you. When they raise you up, wind of doctrine will make no sense to you. If there's any place on the earth that needs the third day, it is Africa. If there's any place that needs the third day, it is Nigeria. It is Nigeria. If there's any church that needs to come to the third day, it's Nigerian church. And Jesus has determined to move the church in Nigeria to the third day by all means. It's determination. It's determination. It's beginning to do that. He will move the church in Nigeria to third day. Every minister of the gospel that will be relevant this day will come to the reality of the third day. They won't just raise wealthy men, they will raise men of stature. The vision will change from raising wealthy millionaires to raising wealthy godly men. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Let's bless the Lord this evening. I appreciate him. Let's give him glory and praise tonight. He's Messiah. Building the tabernacle of praise in the last day. He will build you and I up. Every spirit in your town will know you. Every power in your city will know you. Every throne will know you. Lord, we thank you tonight. We give you praise. Oh Lord, we give you praise. From our hearts, we bless your name. You are worthy of our praise. And to you, our song we raise.
Let's bless the Lord.
Oh Lord, we give you praise.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.